Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards. We have such a good show today. I know I say it every time. Gosh, the people in this world continually blow my mind with how awesome they are and the things that they're doing. When you get down sometimes, and that's okay, and you feel cynical about the world, remember, there's a lot of good out there too. And today we're going to talk to a friend of mine, someone I've known for a couple of years, Sam Gibbs Morris. I just seen him flourish into who he's meant to be. And I am so excited to have this conversation out in the world. He is a coach, mainly of men, but don't let that turn you off because I got so much out of his story and everything that he's developing. A lot of it is about this movement that he's had from healing to helping. And what I mean by that is so often we can get into this mode of what's next for me to fix within myself. And he talks about how he got stuck in that pattern of fixing himself, of healing himself. And instead, he had to pull himself out of that and realize he was worthy and ready to move into the next phase of his life, which means sharing his knowledge. And he has a lot of knowledge and a lot of really cool daily practices. I mean, Sam has quite a story too. One thing we didn't get into is he's been in jail 24 times, through rehab 6 times. So he's got a lot of experience. He's not only a coach as well, but he's also a medicine practitioner and shaman for Bufo in particular. So we're going to talk about experiences with Bufo as well and what those can bring to your life. So if you're curious about that, this is a great space to explore more, or if you have some experience in it, it's also informative. So I have some experience, but it was really wonderful to hear about how he's come into working with the medicine. I just absolutely love this conversation, and I love Sam so much and who he is. So if you would like to connect more with him, then everything is in the show notes. You can go to Sam Gibbs Morris on Instagram or samgibbsmorris.com, spelled exactly like it sounds. And he goes into a lot about pushing past our edges, and that is part of why we're here, you know, having this human experience to push past our edges and to see how good it can get, to see what we are capable of. Sometimes we forget that, and that's okay because the remembering is part of the beauty of it. So I'm so excited to share this with you today. Please, if you like the episode, or if you have liked a past episode, or you have something to share about how maybe this podcast has affected you, I would love to hear it. And I would love it if you could share it in the ratings and reviews of wherever it is that you're listening. It helps this show grow, and it means so much to me. I am coming from such a space of gratitude to be sitting here and working with my voice and my story to uplift others and uplift you in the process, and myself, because it just, when we're putting it out there, it just keeps coming back. So I love you so much, and I'm just so thrilled to bring this conversation. Thank you to Sam, and let's get to it with Sam Gibbs Morris. Welcome, Sam Gibbs Morris. Leadership and Psychedelic Integration Coach.
Yes.
Yes. And you're administering Bufo now, which is so exciting.
Yes,
so
very.
I'm so glad you came.
Thank you so much for having me. It's actually been a kind of a bucket list item of mine to be on this show.
So, really?
Yeah. Ever since we've met, I've noticed you did this, and I was like, I got to be on that show.
Well, I think this is perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Don't you? Because, I just think you've grown into something that feels so good.
Oh, thank you so much for saying
that. And it's on you, too. I can see it.
Thank you.
Yes.
That means a lot. You saw it from the beginning. Like, we've known each other, what, 3 years almost?
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Two.
Two and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing to be here. Thank you so much for that reflection.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. And just, I can just see like in your eyes and just the way you are, you're like embodying what you're putting out.
Thank you.
Which is the goal.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
Drop into the body. Mm-hmm. Be more in the body.
It's fun. Like, I was reading some of your things online and I saw, you know, your word transcend. And I didn't realize that you took the E out because you were pointing out how much ego there is in so many things.
And how much the ego blocks us from things. I mean, the ego is a very judgmental thing.
Yeah.
And it first came to me when I first did Bufo was surrender. And in order to surrender, you know, when we start to surrender, we're like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. Or no, that's not the right way. Or if I do this, I'll lose what I have. It's all ego. It's all ego questions.
I've done all that.
Same. That was my big aha. I was like, wow, if I can just get my ego on my team. And we can talk about ego death in a minute,
okay.
Like using that term. But be mindful that the ego is trying. The ego is very protective of us and it serves that purpose. I feel it just gets super heavy handed mm-hmm. with its ego, with its safety mechanism. And so when we can drop the ego a little bit, we get to fully surrender. We get to fully transcend. We get to be fully committed. And so in my messaging, I drop the E from all these words just to, as a self reminder, but also to let people know, like, that's the big part is getting your ego on your team so that you can actually achieve these things.
And what do you do like day to day when you feel those egos come up and stuff? So, I mean, it's everything is a practice, and I know that that's just such a huge practice. So what is it for you?
So it's noticing, it's checking with myself and saying, okay, what is my ego doing right now?
Forming a habit around noticing.
Forming a habit around noticing it. And then almost like looking for, like doing things like preemptive strikes, like getting in a cold bath, letting your ego know that, no, at 1 minute, I'm about to jump out of my skin and I want to die. But like you stay for 3 minutes, your ego's like, oh, okay, we did it. You're like, we did it. We can do that. And then other things like journaling is huge for this, because with journaling, stream of consciousness journaling in particular, because what I'll do is like, I'll either do like a total word vomit where it's just, I'll start with one word. Like this morning was love. The first word that popped in my head, love, green grass, Vermont. And it just went down this list of like, what's the next word? The ego wants to be like, oh no, that word doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's not like we're journaling right now.
Ego wants to edit.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Edit's a great word for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the ego wants to be so serious. Like it's gotta be love and personal growth, but like love, green grass, Vermont, puppies. Like, and the ego's like, no, what are we're being serious right now.
Why
and
are you talking about puppies?
Yeah. What's that got
the
to do with
it? The way your paws smell. You know? It's true. That's really interesting. I did a lot of that word writing when I was writing songs, and I found it super helpful and interesting because you get out of this mode. Stephen Pressfield talks a lot of this. Have you read War of Art?
I'm not, but I'm familiar with his work.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You got to put that on your, it's an easy read. It's one of my favorites, but he talks a lot about just like not getting in that mode of editing ourselves and especially when we're journaling. But I was just going to say writing songs is a good technique.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't think about using it for like, in the way that you're talking about. And I think that's really cool. One thing they tell you to do in songwriting, I'll just finish this thought, is object writing. So you just take one object, like say it's this shell, you know, and you would just object write about everything about this shell. And you end up writing these amazing things. You get into parts of yourself that amaze you and you go back and read it and you can form it into a song. And it's really a wild ride.
Well, it teaches your brain not to get stuck on things. And that's the ego. Like the ego wants to get stuck on a judgment or a fear or safety, something safe. And so with this journaling and even in meditation, like when you can really free up that energy, and this is another benefit of this, of letting the ego go, is that the ego will get things stuck in your heart chakra or your sacral chakra. That's where things get stuck with the throat. The ego is a big one, because like, oh, and my truth doesn't, I don't deserve to speak my truth, or my truth doesn't matter, whatever it may be, the big throat chakra. And so when you do this stream of consciousness journaling, you teach your body to free flow. You teach your energy field to free flow, because you let thoughts come in and go, you let words come in and go. And this is all letting go of the ego, because the ego wants to judge and stop you and say, oh no, you're stupid for writing that. Or someone's going to read that and think you're a weirdo. And I'm like, I'm not even going to read that again in 2 days.
I know you work primarily with men, right?
Yes.
And work on masculinity. Do you meet a lot of resistance around journaling and some of these? I would think that's kind of almost more traditionally something women do.
Yeah, it goes, it's, I mean, when you think about it, like the girls have the diary, which is a journal.
And so, boys are never taught that.
No, not at all.
Huh.
Yeah. And so like guys will be like, and they don't see guys are about immediate, like humans, I think in general, love immediate gratification, instant gratification.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And I was having a conversation with Drea, who I serve the Bupo with. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I ever have kids, like one of my major pillars is going to be delayed gratification, teaching them that. Because like, as an adult, I had to learn that. And it was a tough one to learn. And I also see the major benefit in it. So with men, like they don't understand that they want the instant gratification of like, I journaled, I'm good. And like, it's, and so it's not like that.
If only.
I know.
If only
over
everything
but
like
over
that.
Time.
I worked out. Now my body is completely hot.
Yeah, exactly. One time.
And it doesn't. It's it like does, working
meditation,
out.
Journaling, it working out. Anything, cold plunges, like you have to, it's a long-term benefit. It's the long game. And when you get to that point where you're doing it consistently, you've been doing it consistently for a month or 2 months or a year, then it is immediate. Then like, if you're having a bad day, you get in a cold plunge and you're like, okay, I'm good.
It's
like, I regulated my nervous system. I'm good.
Yeah. It snaps you back.
Yeah. And you have to get to that point. You have to get through the quote unquote boring part. The non-effective feelings over time to get to the point where meditation works, where journaling works.
It's our culture too with these dopamine hits, man. I was just paying attention to myself today. I think I read Joe Hawley was saying he was doing a dopamine detox.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I just started paying a little more attention and I was like, man, I am addicted to opening my Instagram and getting just a hit. And we don't think of it like that. Instead, you just go, oh, I got likes on my and her comments and letting go of that. And it's a tough thing to do in the world that we live in.
It is. Because we're looking for escapes a lot of times too. Mm-hmm. And I'll note, like you said, like being self-aware like that, noticing that if I put my phone down before I go to bed, I fall asleep at least an hour sooner.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I've started like just set the alarm, put the phone down and don't pick it up. Because then I'll pick it up and I'll be like, and I'll find myself mindlessly.
Oh my God. TikTok's really, really bad too.
Like TikTok is the worst.
That one, it is the worst.
Yeah.
And I got off of it for about a month. And then as soon as I picked it back up and started making TikToks, literally like yesterday or the day before, I was like, oh my God, I'm wasting time here again. Yep. And I see my kids doing it. It's really hard because your kids are just living in a world of this. And so, you know, it's an uphill battle.
And for people like us, we're the same age. And so it's like I feel so lucky to be in our generation, so highly favored to be in our generation because we saw life pre-internet.
Yeah.
We're the crossover generation. We're the bridge. Our generation is the bridge. We knew life.
How old are you?
47.
Oh, wow. You look so good.
Thanks. So do you.
Thank you.
Our generation is just so in such a beautiful place to be able to bridge that gap. Because the generation after us, pretty much all they know is technology. It's like we knew World Book Encyclopedia. They know Google. You know, and so we get to say, we get to bring the wisdom or the energy of like, it was like, slow down, you know, before this, I saw a great thing the other day about not knowing. It was about Tom Petty. And so like you're sitting around, you know, 30, 40 years ago, your friend's like, where's Tom Petty from? And you guys are like, I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. And so you go for days without knowing. Yeah. And then finally you run into someone that is a big Tom Petty fan. You're like, oh, he's from Gainesville, Florida. And you're like, yes, that's right.
Is he really from Gainesville?
Yeah.
I was going to have to look it up.
No, but now we can be sitting here laying around and be like, where's Tom Petty from? Oh.
Boom,
and
done.
It's immediate.
Again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get to sit with not knowing. We have this immediate ability to know everything. And it really, I think it's beautiful. And it's also a little bit, it takes away from the experience a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And then I find, you know, it spills over and I've had to build a practice around not knowing my outcome, not knowing the answer, not knowing all these things. And I just have to lean into, okay, sometimes I don't know. And can I surrender into that?
Yes. Yeah. And not knowing.
And that's a feminine versus masculine thing too. Again, what you're talking about, like the doer aspect of masculinity. And how do you embrace your feminine side in that? Is it all these practices, I suppose?
It's all these practices. It's a lot of being. Like when you talk about like with that instant knowing, instant ability to know, we've lost the ability to say, I don't know. You know, a kid, like to be able to say, I don't know, is one of the most graceful and beautiful things that we can do, because it really, it allows you to open yourself up to all the possibilities. Mm-hmm. And we've lost, like, there's no such thing as I don't know anymore. I don't know. Go Google it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like shot to bang like that. Whereas, like, we don't get to sit in I don't know. So we don't get to feel I don't know. We don't get to, if you're immediately going to Google, like, that loop is closed. And there's beauty in an open I don't know loop. Mm-hmm. Of like, what's going to fall into this vortex? Like, maybe I think I know, but there could be something else that falls in that's maybe even a little bit better.
Opening up to possibilities.
And that's where the feminine aspect comes in, mm-hmm. of being with an emotion, being with an I don't know. And this is the old theory about, you know, guys are the fixers in relationships. Mm-hmm. The most important thing you can do is hear your partner. Just not fix, not solve problems, not give advice, see, hear, hold, and just be there.
Rather than wanting to fix it.
And guys, like, that's what we do. Fix cars, fix houses. And this is
honestly,
like, this goes
so
way
do
back.
Women, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as a mother, mm-hmm. I'm so inclined to that. And mm-hmm. so I have to back way off on wanting to, like, be like, okay, let's fix it. You yeah, know, what yeah. can I do? I'm so used, because I think that's funny that is such a feminine motherhood thing to do as well. Yeah, lean into this, like, oh, well, let's find a solution. Let's fix it. You're being bullied. Let's call the school. Let's talk to the parents. Yeah. Let's, you know, whatever it is. Rather,
protector, yeah.
Yeah, the protector thing, mm-hmm. rather than just listening and being. Yeah. And I have learned in a relationship that I have to just really catch myself.
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Mm-hmm. And also by being that, like, fixer and mm-hmm. fixing, you deprive the other person of an experience sometimes. Like, yes, totally. That can be really helpful. And the other person can maybe veer into codependency. Or,
oh, totally.
Like, you know, and then you get into another friend of mine. I was on a live with her, and we were talking about how it's the save me complex. Like, when someone feels saved, they don't get to have the experience of saving themselves. But it feels like, I love you so much, I'm saving you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women will go to guys and guys are the saviors and women are the ones to be saved. And they feel like that's the love bond. Mm-hmm. In reality, it's almost like a power thing. You know, the guy's like, I'm saving you. So you love me and I love you because you're saving me. And that's just not sustainable.
No, it's not. And it's not healthy. Mm-mm. But I know that I've fallen into that too.
Same.
And because it's appealing in some way, you know,
it feels nice.
It feels good. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, gosh, I just want to be taken care of or saved.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things that feels really, really good until mm-hmm. it doesn't. And then it feels really, really bad.
Yeah. Which is just like anything. It's like that. I heard a quote the other day from Mayim Bialik, and she was on a podcast, but she was talking about when you set down the thing, you realize why you were picking it up.
Mm, so beautiful.
She meant, like, whether it's a drink, whether it's drugs, whether it's codependency. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that applies to this situation. Scenario.
Yeah. In TikTok, Instagram, same thing. If you want to know why you do something, stop doing that thing and you'll figure out why you're doing it real in a hurry.
Yeah.
One of the things I have all my clients, one of the first things we do is for the duration that we're together, I ask them to give up 1 to 3 things that they know they use as a distraction. So Facebook, eating fast food, porn, like whatever it may be, like these guys use these things to numb out, drinking, whatever it is. And so I call it trash to transcend. So trash something in order to transcend
your,
yeah, thank mm-hmm. you. Transcend to the next level and then a big consequence. So wow. Like some guys, it's like $5,000 to a charity of my choosing, whoa. Not theirs. Or like when I did it the first time, I did it with Preston. Mm-hmm. I had to give $1,000 to the Ohio State football team and I do not like the Ohio State football team, just Michigan fan. Uh-huh. And it was like enough of a consequence that hurts me on a lot of levels, financially, mm-hmm. emotionally, like just fun. Like, but it kept me, because that motivation, like when you do something like that, you know, the first month, okay, you're good. Like the second month, you're like, I've made it this far. I think I'm good. And this is kind of like an addiction thing too. Like you make it to a certain point.
Big time.
Where it's like, oh, I'm good enough. Good enough is not good enough, and we can talk about that too. And so what do you have as a kind of an accountability backup to yourself? Like, oh, I have to give $1,000 or $5,000 to this charity. Okay, I can make it till tomorrow.
What'd you give up?
I gave up gluten, dairy, and games on my phone.
Ooh, what were you playing?
Candy Crush.
Oh, shit. One,
I know. Candy Crush, and there's another, it's called Bricks Ball Breaker. It's got this little bubble pop noise. It's it's such a talk about dopamine.
I'm so impressed that you're confessing this, because like I talked on my show, I don't know, a couple months ago about like I was secretly playing a game. Justin doesn't even know. I don't think he listened to it. And I was like hiding it, playing it. I was like, yeah. Oh my, I have got to delete this shit.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like when you do the work, you get to that level of awareness where you're like, I would send like a text to somebody or do something that was uncomfortable and like send an email and then immediately like game. I'm like, what am I doing? Like I'm clearly trying to like avoid this uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
And so it's really powerful.
Or you're just bored and sitting in that like unknowing space.
Yep.
And you're like, that's a little uncomfortable. So I think I'll play this game where I just mindlessly stack boxes or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's irrelevant. It's just the fact that I don't want to feel like I feel.
Yeah. I wonder how much that industry is making. So much, right?
My gosh. I can't even imagine. And they get you with like, 99 cents to buy more stars or whatever. Like, 99 cents isn't that bad.
You know, I've done it 25 times. A dollar? I go to Starbucks.
Yeah, 25 times in the past week.
Are you ever vigilant right now about everything that you're doing, or do you have some things that you feel like you go, well, you know what, I go back and forth and have some balance?
I found this, I landed on this beautiful thing. So a lot of people talk about the 80-20 rule, like 80% of the time eat really well, 20% of the time you get the free pass. Mm-hmm. And then I went to 85-15, and then I did the math. I said, what's the percentage of 1 out of 7? So 1 day out of 7, and it's 14.3%.
Okay.
Is of the week. And also, if you remember pagers, the code for I love you was 143. So the 14.3% is 143. And I call this my like real self-love day. And so like 1 day a week, Saturdays for me, I don't do anything. No meditation, no journaling, no working out, unless I'm just like, I feel like doing that. It's just a day that I give to myself to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. And so it allows me to like the other 6 days, and Sunday's like I do all the things. I'm not as regimented as I am Monday through Friday, but the 1 day a week, the 14.3% is my day to completely shut off my brain of all routine, of all whatever it is, and just do whatever I want to do.
Do you play any games?
Yeah. Yes. Of course. Yeah. I lay in bed for an hour and a half when I wake up on Instagram, like just doing whatever it is that, and don't judge myself. And this is the hard part, is like, don't be like, you're being a dick. You're laying in bed till 2. Like, no, like this is what I want to do today. It's fine. It's my day.
That's really cool.
It gives me, I've tried the other way of like super vigilant and like 7 days a week. Burnout happens for me in like less than a month.
Wow. Yeah,
and I go completely in the other direction, and I'm eating a pint of ice cream a night for 3 nights. Because I'm like, it's that like half I deserved it, half like I'm pissed at myself. Like it's just burnout.
I've come this far now. Yeah. Who cares if I eat another one? Yeah. 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 I can identify with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to shout though, that's really cool. The 143 thing.
Thank you. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Wow. Yeah. That's so neat. I love that. I'm going to try to incorporate that, I think.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spread the word.
So cool. One thing that I wanted to make sure to discuss with you is, in a TED talk a while back, you talked about the problem with hope. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see what your views are on that now and how you're feeling about hope. Because I have a fraught relationship with hope. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan. And I've talked about it quite a bit. And so I wanted to hear what you have to say about hope.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really?
This is really good, because the TED Talk was a while ago. It was about, actually a little over a year ago.
Okay.
And it's funny to look back, and the view of hope has definitely changed. I think I would say that I've lightened up a little bit on it. I was in a very anti-hope. Like, I wouldn't even say, like reaching out to somebody, I wouldn't be like, I hope you're having a good week. I felt that felt wrong using that term. Now I'm like, I'm to the point where I see the purpose of hope. In the TED Talk, I talk about that hope is the catalyst that's designed to kick you into action. Mm-hmm. And if it goes deeper, if it goes longer than that, you're actually going backwards, spinning your wheels. And I said, like, hope is like a rocking chair. You're moving, but you're not going anywhere.
It can be kind of depressing.
It can.
At least I have found. And yeah. I had moments where I was like, fuck hope, yeah. You know? And
because because like, what does it do for you?
Yeah, I know.
Like, it doesn't do anything.
It feels just like this, like, fluffy, yeah. You know, non-thing.
It's a non-action item.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I do in my TED Talk is I compare it to worry. Hope and worry are the exact same, except worry is like this negative thing. You're a worry wart. Oh, but you're a hope dealer. Like, these things are the same exact energy of worrying is something that we do to make ourselves feel better mm-hmm. about not doing anything. So if you're worrying about a problem, like, great, I'm worrying about a problem. Your body thinks like, oh, we're doing something about this.
Right. In reality, we're thinking about it.
Yeah, we're thinking. We're overthinking about it. We're making lists about it.
Yeah.
I'm obsessing about it. I can't sleep over it. Like, this is alive for me, right?
Yeah.
I'm worrying about it.
That's good.
Yeah. And so hope is the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. you spend, like, I hope I get that job. I really hope something works out for me in the next 6 months. Like, mm-hmm. you're not doing anything. You're essentially worrying and hoping in the same. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Same exact energy, both rocking chairs and not going anywhere. So you're sitting on the porch rocking and you're worrying, you're moving, something's mm-hmm. happening, but you're not making any progress at all. So if you're worrying about something, the next step immediately, ASAP, do something, take one step, first step, whatever that may be. And again, there's no wrong steps, like one step, just do something in the direction that you feel is going to move you closer to not having to worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get stuck in worry. Don't get stuck in hope, because hope will trick you. It feels very good to hope. Mm-hmm. It feels very good to worry, you know, because of that thing. Like, it feels like you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And so when you start hoping and it's now 3 weeks later, 3 months later, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just hoping this works out.
Mm-hmm.
Great. What are you doing to get out of hope?
Yeah. And I mean, isn't there almost a little like, element of doubt in there somewhere?
Exactly. The element of lack of trust in yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're hoping, it keeps it in the ether, so to speak. It keeps it in mm-hmm. I don't have to take responsibility for that, or I might fail.
Yeah.
It takes that out of the equation. So if you get stuck in hope, what it is that you really have to look at, okay, why don't you trust yourself enough to take action on that?
Yeah.
Because hoping is, like I said, it's very astral or ether, or it's like, it's non-tangible. So if you are hoping, what you're really doing is saying, I hope something external fixes this for me. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, I trust myself, I believe in myself, I love myself enough to fix this for myself.
And there's a lot about the saved aspect of that too.
100%.
That we were talking about. But then you have to balance, I suppose, masculine and feminine as far as like fixed yeah. mode versus allowing.
Well, so one of the bridges I find between masculine and feminine is the term be about it. So being is a feminine energy. Be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're being about, like some of my clients, I design their North Star, like the man they want to be in 4 months, in four years, whatever it is, the man they want to be going forward.
Your future self.
Future self.
Okay.
Yeah. And so be about it. That means that every day you are just, you're being the person that you want to be. If that means, and then you get, and then within that kind of together, 50-50, like the yin and the yang, is the masculine of like, I get to do the things that help me be the man that I want to be, the human that I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say like, this is the things, like for me, like I know the things that I have to do to be the man that shows up as the safe container for the women that I hold the Bufo ceremonies for, the safe container for the men that I coach, the people in my life, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
To be that man, I have to do these certain things every day to manage my regulate my nervous system, manage my energy, get my head right, and all the things.
Not react.
Not, yes. Ooh, good one.
Like that?
Yeah. Reacting is, that's where a lot of things can get haywire. But so the opposite of reacting, not the opposite, but the other side of that is responding. Like you get to respond instead of react.
Big time.
Yeah.
Justin, I just did that just the other day. And I really was like, it's these moments that show who I really am.
Yeah.
And we both were like reacting, and we came around, But, and we're quicker to come around now with practice, mm-hmm. but it's really challenging when someone else is reacting for you not to just hit it hard right back, you know, and to just really go, look, okay, who am I going to be in these times? Because that's where it really, that's where you're really like, that's doing the work.
That's doing the work. Yeah. And also acknowledging like, you said, showing me who, show me who I really am. Mm-hmm. I would say more so it's showing me where I need to do work a little bit more. So like who you are is the general, like you guys working towards the better. Like that's who you are. But what that reaction shows you is, ooh, that's a little thing I didn't know I needed to work on.
Oh, I knew. For me, it was like some insecurity. Mm-hmm. It was about surrender and trust. Mm-hmm. It was about trusting that I'm going to be shown what I need to be shown, that I can relax.
Yeah.
You know, if this other person, whoever it is, does X, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's your partner, it's okay. You can just go, well, then maybe that person's not right for me. Maybe I'm going to go on my own path, which is tough.
Sometimes. That's a real, real tough conversation to have, especially the further you get into it.
Yeah.
The more time you put into it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's we get to have these things where like we get to be the people that we want to be. And then as when you come together, like you and Justin, like you get to be the us that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes like, what are we doing to work towards this? Like working on reacting or responding, not reacting, and judge and being open with each other and honest. Mm-hmm. Like all these things go into it.
They do. My head can kind of start to spin and in a certain space, and I have to just check back in and go, you know, no, that's not really what you're seeing. You're just spinning.
Yep.
So anyway, I've just gone off on a tangent now, but
it's all good. it's your brain trying to find little, like basically your brain trying to be right. Cause we like our stories, like those stories that we think we've handled, that we think we've eradicated, they're still there and they want to be right. And so every chance they get, be like, remember me? Mm-hmm. You're like, I do. I thought you were gone.
Yeah.
And you're still here. It happened to me yesterday.
Really? What happened?
And so in the morning, we had a VIP day yesterday for one of our integration clients. And so in the morning, it was early start. So in the morning, I knew I had to be like, I had to be super disciplined and get my stuff done in the morning so I could, you know, show up for my client the rest of the day. And the schedule got thrown off and I immediately went, like I got irritable. I got short.
Reacted.
I reacted. I was very reactionary.
Oh yeah. You got short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I posted about it. I was like, you know what? I got rigid, and rigidity is the opposite of, you know, what is quote unquote safe, a safe masculine. Rigid is dangerous. And I lashed out at a few people. I was like, I showed up and I was like, my energy is all weird. And I get to look at like, where am I not being flexible? Where do I not have space in my nervous system for that? Mm-hmm. And it was eye opening because I really feel like I have a ton of space in my nervous system right now. Mm-hmm. And then something like that happens and you're like, oh, you're not as far as you thought. And it's nice to see because it's nice. Cause that means that all I do now I get to clear that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's not a death sentence. It's not like I'm not back into like 100% rigid, unsafe, whatever. It's that I now see, okay, I get to be a little more feminine, a little more flowy.
Yeah.
With my morning, when something goes haywire, it all worked out. Everything was fine.
It always does.
It always does. Except in our heads, it's like, this is the end of the world.
Well, so when you snapped at somebody, or I'm guessing it was somebody, and do you have moments where you struggle with forgiving yourself for that, or you keep beating yourself up a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm asking just because I tend toward that.
Yeah.
And I'm working. I think I had a realization the other day that not forgiving myself is feeling like I'm not worthy of forgiveness. And so I had to just step back and say, I am worthy of my own forgiveness and allowing that. And that's kind of a leap for me.
Oh, big leap. Mm-hmm. I can be really hard on myself.
I know you can. I think you and I are alike in that.
Yeah.
I felt that when I sat with you in a meditative dose of Bufo from December of 2020, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And self-forgiveness has been a huge thing for me. So a lot of times, I feel that somewhere along the line, I picked up a story that I need to punish myself. Like, so some people could say, you know, earn for me, it was straight up punishment. So I would choose struggle to earn love, forgiveness, money, success, whatever it may be. I felt there was a threshold that I had to punish myself to the point where I was able to earn that. And
meaning, what does that mean exactly?
It means keeping myself in scarcity. It means isolation. It means eating poorly. It means not taking care of my body.
How is that earning?
So no, that's the struggle that that's the punishment that I choose.
Ah.
So I will like consciously choose to eat a whole cheesecake or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or not work out or not meditate or just do the things, not do the things that I know I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on the subconscious level, it's choosing to reject clients. It's choosing to show up with energy that is not receiving, not welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so by keeping myself on a low level, you know, whether that's financial, whether that's spiritual, physical, emotional, it means that I can play small and be okay and be the victim. And that gives me attention, that gives me validation, that gives me, it's easy to be there. It doesn't require a lot of energy. And I've gotten myself, one of the biggest shifts I had recently was that, so building a somatic body, to hold success, to hold love, to hold all the things that life wants to give you, the abundance that life wants to give you is one thing. I had made up in my head that in order to build that body, I had to struggle through other things. And so what happened in that process is that I just became a struggler. That's it. That was my existence. My identity was I struggle. I struggle more than everybody else. And so I just kept repeating struggling. I just kept choosing struggle. And so finally I had to say, I have built this body that can handle massive amounts of struggle. And I've been right about that for 45 years through like childhood asthma and allergies, through 15 years of addiction, through poverty and since I got sober, like going through things about like evictions and all this stuff, like choosing this because I'm like, I have to do this so I can get to that. And in reality, it's no, you have to actually like feel success and feel love and feel abundance to build the body for that. And so all that struggling is like, nope, I am not, I have to struggle before I can get to that. But I had it all wrong. So yeah. Now I have to.
You're actually just setting yourself up for more struggle.
I'm just creating more struggle. Yeah. And so and then things start to happen that are good. Like you start to make some money, start to get some clients. Meet somebody and it's like, this feels really weird. I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to learn like, oh, it's because my body's not built for that yet. I've been building the body for none of that. And so now it's like letting those things come in. Like when something comes in, new client, love, whatever it is, opportunity, like it's a physical response first for me now, instead of trying to think my way through it, of breathing and like, legitimately feeling my body expand into that space. And that's building the body for it and not recoiling and like wanting to run away and go spend all the money I just made or whatever it is, like sabotage,
mm-hmm.
not sabotaging, just really sitting with that feeling of feeling of success, the thing that I've said I wanted for so long. Oh, it's here. Ugh, I don't like it. You know, and shifting that to be like, okay, it's a little uncomfortable, but I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And then that's moving in the other direction from struggle. That's allowing the things to come in and expanding that version of your body.
Mm-hmm. Do you do, well, it reminded me of things I do where I do a lot of like affirmations where I'm voicing it
mm-hmm.
and saying instead of like, I'm just a struggler, you know, I have trouble with trust or whatever you're saying,
mm-hmm.
letting go of that and just saying, no, I have abundance. I am abundant. Everything flows to me.
Yeah.
You know, rather than this struggle mindset. And do you do much of that?
A lot of that. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. So one of the things I was doing was that I would write like, I'm not struggling anymore.
No, can't write that.
I know.
No.
I know.
It's like, I am getting out of debt. I'm like, yeah. Cut that shit. I'm in surplus.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Shift that.
Yeah. I am debt free. I am financial
I don't
free.
Even want the word debt in there.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah. I am in surplus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, at least that's what I, how I've chosen to phrase it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. And so like a lot of that, like negative, like it's all about, I'm not, I don't want.
Right.
No.
Like, the universe is like, what? Struggle. What? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, have some more.
That's what you're asking for.
Another thing I found very powerful with the affirmations is adding a because.
Ooh.
I am abundant because when I am, my impact, I can do more good in the world.
I just got chills. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. I am a loving human because when I am, more good people have come into my life.
Your why.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like why is more money good for me? Why is a better body good for me? Not just because, like, just say it, like, great.
Not just because, yeah.
Like, or what does it do for me? Mm-hmm. It really, I always like to say, you know, add drama, but don't be a drama queen. So like drama is like the details. The drama queen is like, oh, like, you know, drama queen, like,
I know.
Yeah.
I live with two teenagers. Girls, two teenage girls.
Mm, yes, you know.
Yes, I do.
So I look at drama as like a movie. Like there's details and there's things that make you feel things in a movie. There's people saying, being emotional or angry or adventurous in a movie, that's the drama of it that makes you feel a certain way that makes you want to go do that. Mm-hmm. So with the affirmations, I'm add some drama in there. With visualizations, add the details, add drama to it, make it something that really lights you up.
I agree.
Yeah,
totally agree.
They land a lot.
But I like adding it just into your affirmations. Just throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? And I think that there's an element in there of like, if you haven't thought about your why, okay, it's a great opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
You know,
and it keeps you aligned.
Mm-hmm, it does. Let's talk some about your psychedelic medicine journey. And now you're a practitioner of BUFO.
Yes.
And for people that don't know, you know what? I could explain it, but you can do it better. So why don't you?
Okay. Where do you want me to start with BUFO?
I guess just if anybody doesn't understand BUFO, maybe just a quick.
Yeah. So BUFO is the genus species of the Colorado River toad is BUFO alvarius. Mm-hmm. And so the Colorado River toad lives in Sonora. It's the Sonoran desert of Mexico, where the Comecac Indians and the Seri tribe live there. So this toad lives in the mud for nine months.
This is a much better explanation than I could have done.
So this toad lives in the mud for 9 months out of the year. And then in three months, it comes out and does its thing, you know, mates and eats and does all the things. And the Seri tribe have learned to extract the venom from the toad's glands. And they dry the venom out, and then they smoke it. And they would use it as a rite of passage in their tribe. Now, it's come into more mainstream where it is the, you know, people call it the God molecule or the spirit molecule. It's a great, not even great, it's not even a word for it.
It's no, great.
It's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, amazing, phenomenal way to really expand consciousness. So you can see things you've never seen before. You can feel things you never felt before. And this is a bigger psychedelic thing, but with BUFO especially, it forces your hands off the wheel. So like other psychedelics with like psilocybin or ayahuasca even, there's elements of the human control still there where you can say like in their extended periods, they're like, you know, mushrooms is 4 hours, ayahuasca is like 8 or 9 hours. So you have these moments in and out of it where you're still saying, I'm here driving the car just a little bit. And of course you're going to see things that you haven't seen and wake up to things that shine light on things you haven't seen. With BUFO, your hands are off the wheel immediately. You're gone.
And it's fast.
It's fast. Mm-hmm. So the arc of most of them is, you know, ramp up, you eat it or you drink it, and then you're in it for 4 to 6 hours or 9 hours, and then you kind of taper on out of it. With BUFO, it's the, you know, the blast off. And then the taper off is 25, 30 minutes.
Yep.
Excuse me.
It's okay.
And the initial blast off is where a lot of that value comes from, is that it forces us to not be human in a way. It forces, because the most human thing that we have almost is, you know, we're humans as a whole, and our thoughts are the thing that make our human almost tolerable in a way. So our mind really tries to control everything. This is where ego comes in. And judgment and rationalizing, and we love to explain things and figure how things work. That first blast off of BUFO, like the reason people have no words is because we don't have the words to describe that. And that's the beauty of it to me, is that it completely shuts off the brain, like your brain, the computer unplugging and plugging back in. It gives you the neural reset. It gives you the central nervous system reset, and it allows your body to take over. And so, and many people have, I've heard say this, that the body remembers what the mind forgets. So in our mind, memories, traumas, wounds, stories, these things that our mind is good at saying, oh, that didn't really matter. It wasn't really that painful. Our body's like, nah, like that was painful. We remember that. And you hold it in your hips, you hold it in your heart, you hold it in your shoulders. With Bufo, the mind gets to say, the body says, mind, be right back. And the medicine drops you into your body. And that's why a lot of people will start to shake, roll over a lot. They'll move around a lot because that all that energy that's been stored in their body for 10, 20, 30 years is just finally letting, is finally getting to come out and get felt. And so with Bufo, the threshold dose is that first dose that you take, and it really, my experience was this. It was a simultaneous experience of holy fucking shit and duh. Like I can't believe I never knew this. And it's just so simple. Mm-hmm. And then when you're coming out of that threshold, that's when people start to get the downloads. Like everything's reconnecting. And what I like to, one of the examples I like to use or analogies is, remember the old computers, we had to do the disk defrag on the hard drive? So the old PCs, they had the hard drive would get all like, there would be like empty space and viruses and some like faulty programs. Mm-hmm. And you would go in and run a disk defrag, which would compress all the good stuff and free up all this bandwidth. And that's what I like to say Bufo does, is it defrags your hard drive. So now you have this space in your nervous system and this space in your energy field and your bandwidth. And then after you've basically talked to God, all this knowledge starts coming in like, oh my gosh, like forgiveness of other people and compassion for yourself and all these experiences that we've never ever got to experience before because we've been stuck in a human way get to happen. And with that comes like freedom and surrender and all the things.
Mm-hmm. What made you, well, obviously, you know, you doing it made you want to share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. So the first day I did, like, I can literally say that I've had like my life, my life leading up to the day of Bufo, mm-hmm. which was the day before my birthday in 2020,
which is when
December 5th. So this was December 4th, 2020.
So when I sat with you, that was your third time you said, or
second.
Okay.
Yeah. Third.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I did it one more time in Miami.
Oh yes. I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was the third time. Mm-hmm. And, I really like my, I have the life leading up to that day of Bufo and the life since. And so and the massive shift for me was fighting, surviving everything.
Struggle.
Mm-hmm. I had chosen struggle from the moment I was born.
Maybe before.
Definitely before.
Yeah. Cause I have a friend who did it and I encouraged her to do it. And she was like, I'm going sheerly because you're telling me I'll be okay. She went with Celeste and did it. And she remembered being in the womb. And I think she had a lot of trauma even then, you know, from her mother. So it was really interesting to hear.
It's really wild. And this is the beauty of it, is that we get shown these things that give us, it's almost like a sense of relief. Like, oh, goodness, I know that, because now I have some sort of like understanding of how I react to things and the response, and now I can go work on that.
Yeah.
You know, and we were talking about it downstairs, like now, like you saw this, now you have to go and do something about it.
Yeah. I think I was in an AA meeting or something, and I heard someone say, it's a great thing when you find out that you're the asshole, because then you can do something about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, everyone laughed, you know.
There's so many. There's one of my favorite memes is there's a little kid with a boot on his head, and he's like crying, and then it zooms out, and he's got his own hand in the boot. And it's like, you know, when you discover that you're the one that's causing all your problems, it's so true. And so on that day, anxiety was a big thing for me, just voices in my head, a swarm of bees. And I didn't recognize it, but about 4 days later, 5 days later, I was just sitting on my couch and I'm like, it is quiet in here. And like in my head, like, and the voices of like a volume of like 100 to like a 5. And they never came back. Yeah. And then so I immediately started thinking of all these guys that I grew up with and all these guys that I've come across in AA meetings and all these guys that I know are like, oh my gosh, like everybody needs to do this. Everybody gets to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I started talking to John and Celeste and Madhu about, you know, sitting with them, helping them facilitate and like, how can I do what you guys do and bring this to the people that I work with? And that was, you know, the medicine tells you, like, it was immediately, the medicine's like, yep, this is your medicine. Mm-hmm. You get to bring this to the world. And then it was about a year and a half process of getting to the point where, you know, I was ready to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's been the greatest honor.
And now you are.
Now I am.
Now how long has it been that you've been officially a facilitator?
Since August.
Okay.
Well, so August is when Madhu kind of sent me out on my own.
Yes.
Before that, I was working with him since May.
Okay.
So about a year. Mm-hmm. I started helping him facilitate ceremonies down there in Playa, mm-hmm. Playa del Carmen. And then we did a full, like, a 20-person yoga retreat right mm-hmm. before I left. He brought me in to help facilitate with that. And then he, you know, as I was leaving Mexico, he said, "You're ready to go. Spread your wings.
You're like, yes.
I was like, oh, yeah.
So you mentioned that you this year have kind of stepped out of one-on-one coaching and coaching mm-hmm. programs. And man, that is such a thing everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. coach, everywhere I turn, people yep. selling coaching thing. How does this fit with that? And what made you really like, what's your path evolved into?
As far as what
I offer?
As far as
if you're, what you offer, but why you
stepped away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got addicted. I got addicted to doing the work.
What does that mean exactly?
So I would just constantly look for, this is also wrapped up in that thing about me having to struggle. Like going in and doing the work, going to coaches, like, let's dig and look at your shadows and look at your parts, like self-love, self-trust, all these things. And I traversed a lot of levels of myself where I thought it was self-love and then it was self-trust and then it was self-worth and then it was the struggle story. And then I got all down to all these levels and got to the struggle story, which is all based in shame about who I am. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ashamed of who I am, so I have to somehow struggle to release shame so I'm not so ashamed of who I am. And then I can receive all the abundance. So I got there and I kept struggling. I'm like, oh, I got to the, you know, what I thought was the pinnacle, which is really the depth. And I just kept struggling. Like the struggle kept coming and it actually got worse. Like things would start happening. Like when I first got back from Mexico, two times in 48 hours, I got in two scooter wrecks. I was like, what is going on here? You know, I'm back in the United States, things are going pretty well. And on a Thursday, I was riding home from Starbucks to my apartment and just a curb popped out of nowhere and I hit it and flipped over. And I'm like, at first I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, things are going well for me right now. What am I calling in? And so I sat with that for a minute. And then on Saturday, same thing, downtown, went around a corner and there's a giant pothole right there. And again, now I'm like, what's going on here? And this is when like things go well, I'm not comfortable. My body's like, no, mm-hmm. we don't deserve that. You know, you're not ready for that yet. You haven't earned that yet. And so I'm doing these little things like very, very physical human things to throw myself off course, to sabotage. So now I'm like, I have a wrist injury and a shoulder injury from the scooter accidents. Mm-hmm. And I'm like getting back into working out and my body felt good and my routine was good. And now myself was like, oh yeah, you know, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to mm-hmm. to feel good physically. You don't deserve to show up in the world and be seen.
But wasn't there something else when you said I was addicted to it? You were addicted to what? Nonstop delving into.
So if I always was doing the work and always digging and working and going in and hiring coaches and going to programs and even like going to Peru and doing ayahuasca, like all these things, if I'm always doing that, that means that I never have to actually stop and receive all of the stuff on the other side of it. Because that's good. Because mm-hmm. all that stuff is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make, it doesn't align with my story about myself where I don't deserve that good. Mm-hmm. So if I stay in those containers doing that work it hurts and it's hard. And it, but for me, again, my struggle body, yeah, I like this. And yeah. So I got really addicted to just not ever freeing myself up and so very masculine, being, doing, working hard. And so.
So when you said you were stopping with like one-on-one coaching and stuff, you meant for yourself, not doing it someone else.
No.
Oh, you meant the whole thing.
No. Okay. For myself. So
what this does
is it allows me now to actually. So one of the massive shifts for me was going to Sacred Sons in October in Oregon. And I legitimately in that container felt I stopped being the one that needed to be healed all the time. Mm-hmm. And I stepped into being the healer. So the one that will now go out and heal other people. And that was like the end. That was when it occurred to me, like, I need to stop. Because if I'm always looking for coaching, always looking for someone to teach me this, teach me that, show me this, show me that. What I'm really telling myself is that
something's wrong and needs fixing.
Yes.
Oh, yep.
I am broken. Mm-hmm. And so when am I going to stop being broken? Right. Like I could be broken forever and be real comfortable with it.
Totally.
And that's easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it feels good. It doesn't. It hurts like hell, but it's easy.
Yeah.
Because I've done it for 45 years.
Yeah. It's a habit. You're used to it. Yeah. It feels good. It's comfort space.
Yeah. Keeps me small.
It's your comfort zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get attention for a victim. And
yeah.
And so for me, stopping searching those external things and just saying, I have enough. I've done enough. Mm-hmm. I've worked hard. And there's not to say like, at the end of this, I said 6 months, so it's coming up on that. And I'm looking at a few things, a few coaches, maybe. I'm not looking at them as fix me. Like, how can they take me to the next level now?
It's almost like a period of integration, really.
It's exactly
like rather than skipping, learn, grow, just sitting with it, that being.
Yeah.
And being about it and, mm-hmm. and integrating that for real.
For real.
For real.
Yeah. Like, yes, it's going to be uncomfortable because it's new mm-hmm. and you're not going to be able to run to your coach and say, hey, like I'm struggling with this. You know, it's really just saying it's trusting yourself.
Yep.
It's believing in yourself. It's letting go of the shame and saying, you know, I'm being seen. My Instagram following is growing. Clients mm-hmm. are coming to me. All these things that, you know, I've been working for, but afraid to claim.
Yeah.
Because claiming them meant like, oh my gosh, like I actually have to go out into the world and be seen. And for me, being seen is a deep, deep rooted trauma.
Wow. Just
from like very little kid. And so like just taking that next step and just stopping hiding. You're hiding when you're hiding in coaching programs, hiding in whatever it is I'm doing. Stop hiding.
That's big.
It's so big. And I can tell you like it was like a slingshot. Like, you know, the arrow was being pulled back mm-hmm. since FFS when we met in mm-hmm. late 2020, all the way through January 2022. And then it like released and it's been literally like an arrow being released. Like, and it's been uncomfortable at times. Yes, very. Because things are happening and my body's like, again, that thing, the nervous system's like, no.
Yeah.
But I'm like, shut up. This is what we wanted.
Yeah.
And I don't say shut up. That's mean. But
right.
I will just be like, calm down. We're on we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Just receive. And receiving is a big thing.
I had a guest, Jill Herman, and I don't know, about 6-8 months ago. And she had just turned 50. And she said that she looked at herself and said, I have been just in this growth mindset of healing and work and all the things that you're talking about. And she said, is this what I want for the rest of my life? It's a mm-hmm. lot like what you're saying. And she was like, I had to look, when is it going to be okay to just be happy and just be and allow that? And she said, what do I want this next 50 years to look like? And I thought that was really poignant to just sort of look at yourself and say, when, not that you're done, you're not saying the work is done. It's just a different type of work.
Yes.
Does that resonate?
100%. And what you have to understand that, or I had to understand that I have to let all that catch up.
What do you mean?
So if you're working in that, the way I was doing it was essentially ended up, yes, I was doing work and I was getting to the bottom of some stuff and figuring some root causes out.
That's the integration, letting it catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it ended up that I'm running from everything I say I want. So all the
doing the work.
Yeah. I'm going to do this work so I get this. This is like right here now. And I'm like, I'm going to run the other way.
Yeah.
And so
let me just keep working, or just stay right there. Let me just keep working right
now. Not yet success, not yet abundance. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not ready for you yet. And the fact of the matter is when you have to be ready all the time for it.
Yeah.
At least open to it all the time. And so
be about it. I'm a fan of that. Be about it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So now you integrate the psychedelic medicine mm-hmm. with these other things.
Yes.
You sound very balanced as a facilitator.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So it's you know, with the medicines, even with a coaching container that I create for the men I work with, set and setting, safety, mm-hmm. making these people feel safe to really go to where they need to go.
Yeah, because it's super scary.
It's super scary.
It was for me anyway. I suppose there's some people who aren't scared, but they're crazy.
Well, so yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, I think you have to acknowledge the fear.
Yeah,
like part of it is like feel safe to say I'm scared.
Oh yeah, I'll cry before I do it. Literally, yeah. I will cry. I'm like, oh my god, this is it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna lose my mind now. But then I don't.
Yeah, then you don't. Then you're like,
or I do, afterward, but in the best way.
Yes. And afterwards you're like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
And we always forget that, oh, that was good. Mm-hmm. We always focus on that, the immediate pain, the fear. Mm-hmm. And so creating that space, and it had to be created within me first.
Yeah.
You know, the safety, the set and setting, the ability to hold that space. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all that work doing that, like going to those places and doing that hard work. Now I can look at someone else going through it and just be like, you're going
to
be okay.
That's the thing. You have to create it within yourself, which is kind of a thread of exactly what we've said through this entire conversation.
Yeah.
You know, creating it inside job. It's like that forgiveness thing, that worthiness. And I was like, how do I expect anybody else to forgive me if I'm not forgiving myself?
You can't.
No.
It doesn't work. Mm-mm. Because you're always, because what we love to project that stuff. Mm-hmm. I love to project that stuff.
I do too.
About like, oh, I don't forgive myself. So in your situation, this is what I would do. And we don't know what anyone would do in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like we know what we would do. It's like when people say, this is a real kicker that I tell a lot of guys, is that when you say, I'll do it myself because I don't trust anybody else to do it. What you're really saying is I don't trust myself. But I know that if I mess it up, it's okay. Because if you say, I'm the only one that can do this, I don't trust anybody else to do it, what you're doing is you're saying, well, if someone asked me to do it, I might mess it up. Because what you're flipping it and projecting it on someone else. And so trusting other people to do something mm-hmm. means trusting yourself that you would do it the same
way. Like, I know I could.
Yeah.
So you can too. Yeah.
As a CEO or a leader, I hired you. So therefore, I believe in you. I trust you because I trust myself.
Wow.
I trust my decision making. Yeah.
It totally like reminds me of, you know, these Donald Trump like type of figures that get very like, I alone can fix it.
Mm.
Huh. Super interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot packed in there.
There is.
Mm-hmm. But just allowing someone to say like, I trust myself and I trust you to mm-hmm. fix it too.
Because you know what? Because like the reason that you're here and you have the opportunity to do it is because my energy attracted you into my life. Mm-hmm. One of the funniest things happened when I first got back from Mexico. I was started dating people. Mm-hmm. And I would be sitting across the table from this date. And I'm like, this person, like some of them are smokers, like big drinkers.
Oh, like, smokers meaning cigarettes. Yep. I didn't know if you meant like super hot people.
Oh, smoke shows? Yeah. A couple of them, yes. And also smoking cigarettes. Yeah, okay. Vapes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it was a streak. And I'm like, okay, what does my, like, I was like, this is clearly my energy. Like, why am I attracting these people into my life? And so I have to go back, take a step back. It's like the rainmaker, like get aligned. And mm-hmm. then I can start attract. Then you have to look at, you really always have to look at who you're attracting into your life because mm-hmm. it's a direct representation of what's going on inside you. Always.
Well, so what was going on?
I was reaching desperate. So like, that means like, whether I knew it or not, subconsciously standards getting lowered. I was looking for easy, I'm not gonna say easy targets, but like people that I'm a little bit above, that I view as I'm a little bit above, which is not right at all. Mm-hmm. Just put myself there, like, so someone that can't reject me because I'm feeling rejected in myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, so I look at that and say, like, well, I got to start, like, upping my standards, my personal standards for, like, with my integrity, my values, my authenticity, my truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where am I leaking energy?
Yep. And being okay if that doesn't appear. Like, you just go, that's all right.
Because
that's just not what I want. And
yeah.
So I'm cool as this.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. Dating is a great tool to learn a lot about yourself.
Big feedback tool.
Yeah. Really. I learned a lot dating, and it was so good for me. You know?
It is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is when you can look at it like that, as like, not so much in the moment, like, I'm dating because it's a mirror. Like, just, but when you have the ability to say, okay, this is, I'm not attracting what I want. Where do I get to look? Where do I get to look?
Yeah.
That's, and then it leads you to Justin. It leads you to the, mm-hmm. the person that you're supposed to be with. All of it. When they say, like, it's all preparation for the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most accurate thing.
Well, ever. It just made me look at who am I being, you know, like, because I want this certain type of person that's, you know, living a really conscious life, let's say. And so I had to say, well, that type of person is with somebody really badass who really believes in themselves. So moment for self-evaluation.
Yes. I always say, when you're talking about being about it, like, mm-hmm. how do I know what it is? Well, close your eyes and think about your highest ideal expression. What car do you drive? What house do you live in? Where do you live? How do you show up? Who is around you? What does your apartment smell like? Like, mm-hmm. give it drama, but you can easily get there if you just shut your eyes and just imagine your highest self, and then you have the target.
Do you do that all the time? Do you do that every day?
Yeah, I kind of do. Mm-hmm. I do too. For me, it's not so much of a, like, I'm shooting for something far away. I've kind of backed it off to, where am I out? Like, am I out of alignment, or it shows me where I'm out of alignment. So mm-hmm. like, my highest ideal version does these things, drives this car, lives in this place, like, shows up this way on stages, on podcasts, writing books, like, the things that I really want in my life to impact and to make myself the best version of me.
Yeah.
And so it's not as far off. It doesn't feel as far off as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. What's your car?
Toyota Tacoma.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's a cream-colored Porsche Panamera.
Ooh, very nice.
Doesn't have to be new. I can take a late model.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2000, mm-hmm. like, a couple years old, fine.
Yeah, actually, I kind of prefer that. So,
yeah. Yeah, same. I like the body style back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so and then sometimes I'll, like, when I'm doing, like, a life design,
mm-hmm.
I'll get real creative and say, okay, I have a house in L.A., house in Lake Tahoe, house in Miami. Like, the things that I know. It's hard for people to get, like, oh, that's not for me. Like, I can't have that. It's all available.
It's all available.
That was the big thing. That's what got me to Mexico, mm-hmm. was that I went down there in January of 2021,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm like, I just need to go. Like, I felt called to go. Actually, it was a fit for service challenge. Aubrey said, go get in the dark for 2 hours. So I went to a float tank, and the only thing that happened in the float tank was like, you need to go to Mexico. You need to go to Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a Saturday, and I was in Mexico on Monday.
Cool.
And then I went down there, and I sat with Madhu, mm-hmm. and did Bufo, and I was sitting in the water looking back at the shore at Tulum, and I was like, it immediately occurred to me, like, this is something that I had decided was completely out of my league, realm, capabilities, whatever. And I looked around, and I was like, holy crap.
And here I am.
Here I am. Mm-hmm. And I could feel my entire nervous system just went and just settled. And I was like, yeah, wow. It was a complete perspective shift for me.
Yeah.
Like, life-changing moment.
Yeah, because it's beautiful when you have those moments that you didn't think were possible, and then you show yourself they are, and then you're like, what else is possible then?
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. And let go of the attachment.
And let go of the attachment of how it comes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How?
Big time.
How is it? Naughty little word.
It sure is. <It's difficult
laughs> And that's another one that us humans, we really like how.
Mm-hmm.
How it doesn't
How's
look.
It going to happen?
How's it going to happen?
What's the path?
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't. Mm-hmm. We think we know, and mm-hmm. we being about it is, you know, show up. The only thing we have to do is show up. That's it. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're showing up.
Thank
We're
you.
Wrapping up.
Okay.
And I want to turn the floor over to you.
Okay.
So whatever is on your heart or anything that we missed that we didn't talk about that you want to bring up and be sure to mention on the podcast, please do.
Okay.
So whatever you'd like to do, you're free to take a second and whatever comes to you, but I just want to turn it over to you.
Thank you. I first want to say thank you so much for having me. This is
you're welcome. So thank you for being here and showing up the way you have.
I always love being in your presence. It's always so good.
Thank
so good
you.
To see
you.
Yes,
received that.
Oh, I love that. That's one thing is receiving.
As challenging as it is.
Yeah. Like, you look nice today. Thanks. So do you. No, you didn't receive that.
It's a reflection of you. And I'm like, no, just take the compliment.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. Like, learn to take a compliment first and then, which is really hard.
I was first inclined to say it right back to you. And I was like, you know what? Just receive it for a second.
Yeah. And some people.
It's a really nice thing to hear. So
and it will also be a reflection of the other person because they're like, they might say it to you expecting you to say it back to them. So like with, I love you. Mm-hmm. If you're saying I love you to someone with the intention of receiving it back, you got to look at that.
You do.
Because
you do.
You're going to get let down.
Just and let
compliments are the same way.
Yeah. Compliments are the same way. Just don't expect it back. I've done that a million times. Like, you look great. And then I'm like, well, I didn't say it back. I must look like shit. You know?
Yeah. Right. What's wrong with me? So there's that. And then also I want to say, that I feel like a call to men. So women, it's time for the men to really honor that women are the life force of this planet. I mean, you guys are legitimate portals. And it is our duty as men to step up and start doing the work. So one thing I've seen with this psychedelic facilitation is that we get a lot of women coming to us. And what that means to me is that there are women out there doing the work. And there's the men are not really meeting them there. And it's been eye-opening for me. And I would love, like, I know that, like, my mission and purpose on this life is to create a safer environment world for the feminine energy so that the feminine energy can thrive and flourish and do what they do and be the warriors and the lovers and the goddesses that they get to be without having to worry about men in this world. And so, and feel unsafe in relationships and feel unseen and unheard in relationships. So the men, it's time for the men to learn really to expand their edges, to expand their capacity to hold their life. And it starts with holding their own emotions and holding their own fears and holding their own progress and holding their own joy, receiving their own joy. And that will be radiated out in a safer environment for all the women. And I just want to honor all the women out there that are doing this work and working to call in their kings and be the goddesses. And for men, it's time that we step up and expand our capacity too. We have to expand our nervous system's ability to hold our life. And that includes the major part of it is the feminine energy.
Beautiful. Yay. Well said too. I mean, man, you have so many good little phrases and such powerful ways of putting things. So I am just so impressed. I absolutely love this conversation.
Thank you.
So can you tell everybody how they can find you too? And I'll put everything in the show notes.
Yes. So Instagram is the best way. It's at samgibbsmorris.com. Just at
samgibbsmorris.com. I almost said it too.
So Instagram is at samgibbsmorris. My website is samgibbsmorris.com.
Yes.
And those are the best two ways to find me.
Perfect. And they can get information about all your programs.
Yep. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. Do you do things online as well? And so you travel?
The psychedelic stuff, the Bufo ceremonies, those are private 4-hour ceremonies that we put together with a Bufo journey. And then Drea, conscious mother on Instagram, she has a quantum crystal resonance healing bed. We do a full Bufo journey, then we put them on the bed for an hour and give them a full like hour of accelerated integration right off the bat with she does Reiki and like a full sound journey with binaural beats. So we've made it into a whole like half day experience.
Wow.
I forgot where I was going with that.
I was just, I guess, do you travel?
Here? So that stuff's in person and we're going to start traveling. We're going to go to LA and shortly. Mm-hmm. We're going to start doing retreats. We have a 5-day retreat coming up.
Where's that?
It'll be here in Austin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then for me, my one-on-one coaching with men is done virtually. I have clients all over the United States and a couple in London. Mm-hmm. And so that's done one-on-one. It's a 4-month container. that we drop in and do. There's breath work involved, and there's NLP involved, and there's some other stuff.
Oh, cool.
I have men's retreats coming up in the fall that I'm launching.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so, if anyone's interested in coaching, it's all virtual, so you can do it from anywhere. The retreats will be announced shortly.
Awesome. Way to not play small, Sam.
Thanks, Amy.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much.
It's fun to see like us grow, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Like, we've literally watched each other grow for 2.5 years. It's been amazing. Through the ups and downs and all of it.
All of it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Receive that.
I receive.
Good, good. Well, thank you. I encourage everyone to go find you, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
That's a wrap.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.